Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning, Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John Hockenberry for a couple of more days, and we've got some takeouts now on the stories we're following this week. A report out of Congress says Toyota misled the public on its safety problems, which caused unintended acceleration in some Toyota cars. Kate Linebaugh covers the auto industry for the Wall Street Journal, and she's with us now. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
This report out of Congress on Toyota, what exactly do they say went wrong?
Oh, well, they say a number of things went wrong, mainly, as you said, that Toyota misled the public with some public statements earlier this month, but also that Toyota has resisted the possibility of electronic failures and then provided and hasn't done enough to investigate the electronics in the vehicles. The misleading the public comes from some statements made by Toyota's U.S. sales chief earlier in the month, where he said on the Today Show and other programs that the fix for the sticky pedal showed that the company had everything under control, and Congress is challenging that and saying also that Toyota officials in their communications with Congress said that the sticky pedal issue is not at all linked to high-speed sudden acceleration, and so therefore I guess Congress is challenging Toyota for conflating the sticky pedal problem with the sudden acceleration problem that is really at the heart of this whole thing.
Well, there might be some light shining on federal regulators as well, because we had some news earlier this week that Toyota actually negotiated some recall terms with the federal government. So we'll see where this story goes. Kate Linebaugh covering the auto industry for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for joining us.
And now for another takeout from the Olympics. Jason Stallman joins us again. He's the Olympics editor for our partner, the New York Times. Jason, let's talk about the ice dancing competition first. Who walked away with medals last night?
In ice dancing, finally Canada had a little something to celebrate. They've had so many disappointments reaching the podium so far in the Vancouver Games, but Scott Moir and Tessa Virtue had another nearly flawless performance. First gold medal ever in ice dancing for a team from North America, and it's only the third time that a team not from Russia or the Soviet Union won gold in that event.
Oh, nice. Well, yay, Canada.
Canada and the United States comes away with silver. Merrill Davis, Charlie White, a couple of students at the University of Michigan. They finished second to Moir and Virtue.
Go blue. Coming up today, we have the men's giant slalom ski race. Two veteran U.S. skiers, Ted Ligety and Bodie Miller, are going to be carrying the hopes for the U.S. men. But we've got two other U.S. skiers, too, also Tommy Ford and Jake Szymanski. These are their first Olympics for them. Any medal contenders among the Americans?
Well, certainly, I think everyone by now is persuaded by Bodie Miller that he's back and stronger than ever. So he's a presence in the giant slalom. But this is Ted Ligety's specialty, so I think Ligety might be considered even more of a favorite to win a gold or silver than Bodie. Ligety's number 7 in the start list, so he'll have an early run. Miller goes a little while later, so. So certainly two medal contenders for the United States in the giant slalom today.
However, if Bodie Miller does happen to win, he could be the first man to win 4 alpine skiing medals.
Right, and that would be, he's already been a huge surprise, but if he comes away from Vancouver with 4 or more medals, that will be absolutely stunning. He's already being considered one of the greatest alpine skiers of all time, and then that would certainly only strengthen that case.
Definitely would underline his name in the history books. Thanks so much, Jason Stallman, the Olympics editor for our partner, the New York Times.
And now business, and that means Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Louise, the Times has an exclusive this morning from your colleague Brad Stone on how Walmart might soon start selling movies over the internet. Is this Walmart's version of cut-rate Netflix films? Why are they getting into this business?
Good morning, Todd. Walmart sells a lot of DVDs. So they're looking at the future and they're saying, we've got to be in the beaming business. We've got to be able to beam movies to people because the DVD business is going away. Now, remember, Walmart did this a couple years ago with Hewlett-Packard. They set up a website where you could download videos. It didn't work. It flopped. And so what they're doing now is they're buying this company, Vudu, which is a program that connects with HDTV. So instead of having to have a separate box, it's built right into the HDTV, and you can get any movie from anywhere. And it's a huge market potential because right now, fewer than 5% of HDTVs sold in the U.S. have this capacity. So if Walmart owns this company that got this into all the HDTVs, it's really a big market, and people would love, I think, would love to be able to, you know, kind of demand whatever they want, whenever they want it on their HDTV.
On-demand movies right to your television. How does Walmart sell this? Do they keep the Voodoo name, or do people want to go on their television and say, I just bought a barrel of pretzels and 18 gallons of milk from Walmart. I think I'll buy the latest George Clooney movie from them too.
So that's the future potential here. The future potential is not only selling movies, but selling anything right on someone's TV, and potentially even, you know, during the movies, having side features that you can buy things on. Voodoo has an interesting capacity that other services like Netflix don't have. It links up with Facebook and Twitter and other parts of the internet so that people can really multitask while they're watching movies, and there's a lot of commerce potential, which Walmart is undoubtedly looking at.
Now, is there the potential here for a pop-up while you're watching a movie, you know, if George Clooney puts on a slick suit, you know, click here to buy the suit from Walmart, because I would turn it off in a second, I have to tell you.
That sounds horrible. So, you know, I certainly think they'd be unwise to do that sort of invasive advertising, so they'll have to strike a balance.
Have to strike a balance between utter commerce and the future of movies, right? Well, Louise Story from our partner, the New York Times finance reporter, joining us to tell us that Walmart, hey, they're in the pretzel business, they're in the wholesale chicken business, why not the movie business? That's where the money is. Louise, thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.